Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Annalee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Annalee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Annalee. Annalee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Annalee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Annalee.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Ooh, yeah, baby. Everyone's a winner. Good morning. Good morning to everybody. And welcome, welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. And we're both here today. Good morning, Jenna. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. I actually am really loving this overcast weather. And there wasn't a lot of people on the roads today. So I'm a pretty happy gal.
You're doing well, and Mr. Bob is with us, so good morning, Mr. Bob.
Good morning, Annalee. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Yeah. So let's kind of open it up, Bob, and first of all, tell everybody if you have a comment or a question, call us or text us, 437-1620. We would love so much to hear from you. And I got to tell Jenna this will make her happy. I had an appointment Friday morning with someone who wanted to come and talk to me about financial things. And guess what the first thing that person said to me was, I have listened to you on the radio for years. I listen to you all the time. Is that like, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
You know?
That is so, I love hearing that.
Yeah,
and they turned the corner when Jenna came on the air, right?
Well, you know, it's people listen to you and they're not at retirement yet, but then all of a sudden this gentleman is saying, "Wow, I'm going to retire this summer, and I've listened to you, and I haven't done some of the things you were going to do, and I'm thinking about doing these things, and I realize I'm late in that." And the greatest thing about our entire visit was he was going to go and started Social Security. Well, he's not yet full retirement age, and shall have worked over half of this year. So guess what he does not want to do? Start his Social Security.
Yeah.
Because then he's got to pay some back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's interesting how often we see that where you know, somebody is working, they have not reached FRA or full retirement age, and they choose or think it's a great idea to take their Social Security. And that is early. That is early. Anything before your full retirement
age. Very early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so we had a long talk, and I said, listen, if you got to take it, at least wait till January, because in January you won't have the JOB and you won't be making as much money as you are now. Mm-hmm. But I said, we really, really need to run numbers for you to show you what would be best for you. So Bob and I will be working on that for him. But it was so good to know that here he has been listening, and he said, you know, okay, it's time to go visit with Annalee. And I thought that was a good thing. So just to let all of you out there know, we are available. We're here to help you. Call us at the office, 437-3127, and one of our wonderful staff will set up an appointment for you to come in and talk, and let's answer questions before you make decisions, not after.
Right.
Because after you make them, you know what? We can't go and undo them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for the next hour, please call us at 850-437-1620 if you have any questions, comments, concerns. We'd love to field those questions.
We would love to hear that. Now, before we take up where we left off last week, Bob, with you know, the Ed Slott training I just went through, and talking about IRAs, private letter rulings, some of the things that are out we want to make people aware of. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. You know, there is a supposed quote-unquote gas shortage at this point, which is probably, I think, more of a panic than anything. You know, I know there was a breach on one of the gas supply lines, and of course they closed everything down, and these greedy idiots who wanted money have disturbed everybody's life. I mean, right. Please grow up.
Yeah.
Go to work, make your money.
Yeah. And it's really not a shortage. It's a more of a distribution issue.
Yeah, there's a ton. Exactly. There's a ton of issues that have just collided, and we are just experiencing all of the repercussions of laziness, selfishness, all of the things. And so it is very upsetting. I'm not going to lie. People, right. You see people kind of going into panic mode, and we have to just reassure people: panic is not going to help.
Right.
No, it won't. And don't go hoarding stuff, and be careful for price gouging, because there have already been a couple of reports of that. That is against the law. Do remember that we have a tremendous reserve of gas and oil that is kept by the government. Just in case we do run short, we've got that. But it's, you know, I think what's happening is people are doing the same thing they did right at COVID. They're hoarding. They're going in and not just getting their gas tank filled, but they're going in with all the, you know, gas cans and getting extra. And that just makes it worse for everybody.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Calm down. Cool your jets. What else you got to say, Mr. Bob?
Well, I was going to say, you know, that don't be part of the problem. And more than you need. You just don't need to do that. And, you know, this isn't a time for panic. And I remember a long time ago learning about inflation and hyperinflation. And when you drive up the demand, you know, when, you know, there is a demand increase, that increases the prices. And that's
correct.
You know, therefore we become part of the problem. But if you want to, you know, contribute to the solution, you know, stay at home. Right, Jenna?
Stay home.
Yes. If you don't have a reason to go out, right. And I heard somebody, I have a group message going on, and they were like, wait, we're going to go drive around and look for gas. I'm like, that's the opposite of what you should be doing.
Opposite.
Hold tight. Yep. Everybody calm down. And then everybody's like the pointing the fingers, blaming and doing it. All you need to know is that it's in the process of getting fixed. I just heard and saw a tanker, a double tanker actually go by right here. So, you know, somebody's getting gas somewhere. So we're going to be okay.
Yeah, no.
I bet those people with electric vehicles are smiling right now.
I bet they're just pointing.
Right? Yeah. Oh, they are. Don't you know they are? They're riding down the street going, na, 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 na. You know.
Problem? What problem?
Well,
what problem? I don't have a problem.
It is kind of funny because that whole thing, too, is it can go both ways. But I will say, just be kind, be courteous. Don't fill up a 100-gallon gas can like we saw yesterday somebody had in the back of their truck.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
Think of other people, especially the people who are driving from Pensacola back to Gulf Breeze proper every day for work.
Yes.
All the way around.
I mean, there are those of us who don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got to be at our place of employment. And that ride in itself burns gas because it's so much stop and go, stop and go, and go. And believe me, we're not out there doing that for the enjoyment of it. Bob can tell you when I walk in, my blood pressure is about 10 degrees higher than it was when I left home. So, you know, you're not doing that just for fun and games. So cut out the unnecessary stuff. Don't hoard. Don't panic right now. And we'll go from there. So let's see. We already have a question, Ms. Jenna. What do we have, babe?
Okay. So just to remind everybody, please jump into the conversation, whether it has to do with gas or planning for your retirement, whatever it is, or a dog picture. We love seeing the doggy pictures.
Oh, God, yes.
437-1620. We want everybody to win today. So this question says they want to know, what is the full retirement age?
Now, if you're talking about full retirement age for Social Security, that kind of differs by when you were born. Let's just kind of go back in history a little bit. When Social Security was first put in, it actually, Bob, do you remember who Social Security was put in for in the very beginning?
Oh, gosh, wasn't it a former president's wife? I can't. You tell me, because it's somebody we should all know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, when Social Security first came in, it was brought about for the fact of widows and orphans.
Right.
Because remember, that was an amount of time when men were dying very young, because we didn't have all the OSHA laws and they were inhaling asbestos and working in horrendous positions. And we're dying at early ages, leaving a spouse who did not work, because think about it, back then, very few women ever went to work. So originally just for them. Then they said, okay, we're going to put it in as a subsidy from the government for retirement years. So the full retirement age has increased over the years. For most people right now who are in that baby boomer range, full retirement is 66. Now, for some, it's 66 in a few months. For some people born later, it's gotten up to actually 67. So you have to check your date of birth as to what is considered your full retirement age. Most of our clients, Bob and I's clients, are within that 66 and X number of months range. But we do have some that are at the 67.
Right.
You know, and basically what that means is your Social Security at that age, you can go ahead, you can collect, you can keep working if you want, make as much money as you want. And the government doesn't as such penalize you for that or make you give money back. Prior to that, they would, and the benefits are much less.
Right.
So that's full retirement age. Now, if you're talking about the age that you've got to take money out of your IRA, that has now been changed to 72, unless you were 70 and a half prior to January of 2020.
Right. It's interesting. Lots of moving parts. And if you were born before 1955, it is age 66 is your full retirement age. If you were born after, in 1960 or after, it's 67. And for the years of 1955 through 1959, it's 66 and a couple of months, depending on how close you are to the year 1960 as a date of birth. So if you're born in the late 50s, it's neither 66 or 67. It's 66 and change.
And you know what you want to do, and I would highly advise everybody to do this and keep track of this. There is a website called socialsecurity.gov. And if you go into that website, you can set up your access to your benefits. You will set up your own password. Everything is there for you. And I advise people to do this, because even if you're not close yet, you want to keep track of what your benefits look like. And you want to make sure that every year your income is correctly reported. Because there have been times where income is not reported correctly. Mm-hmm. And if you don't catch it and have it corrected within a 3 to 5 year period, they will not go back and change it.
Right.
So even people as young as you are, Jenna, I would say go in, set up your own site, check your site, make sure every year your earnings are correctly reported, because your earnings is what is going to determine what you get for Social Security.
Right.
And keep track of that.
Okay.
Keep track of it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, now once you start it, you can't go into that site because you're collecting benefit. But prior to, it's a good thing to do, I think. So go in and check that out. All right. So last week we were going through some of the things that Ed Slott went over in 2 days of him frying my brain a couple of weeks ago, and trying to share some of those with you. And this to me is important. We were just about to get into this section when we ended last week's show. It's talking about when people have IRAs or 403Bs, 401Ks, or SEP plans, or simple plans, whatever that hodgepodge that you happen to have, there are very specific rules if you pass away, okay? The IRS gets very upset when someone dies, and then after the person has died, an heir makes a contribution to the IRA. You can't do that, okay? So you can make a contribution. You know, if today I make a contribution and tomorrow I pass away, that's illegal. But if I were to pass away tomorrow, no one can make a contribution the next day, okay? So please be very, very careful with that, because people come back and now you're charged with what's called an over contribution. You got to take the money out. You have to pay a penalty. Just avoid all that stuff.
Right.
Okay. So be aware of those kinds of things as they come along. Same thing if a person is taking required minimum distribution. Now, let me go back just 1 minute to the other. If the person passes away and there is a spouse, the spouse can still make a contribution on the deceased spouse's earning into their own IRA. Did that make sense, Bob?
Yes. And that is because it can actually roll over to theirs.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So if the spouse has their own IRA and they want to make a contribution based on the deceased spouse's earnings, they can. If they want to come in, claim the deceased spouse's IRA as their own, and they're the only person that can step into ownership, mm-hmm. okay, and then again contribute either on their own earnings or the spouse's earnings, that's okay. That is perfectly permissible, okay? Now, we all know 2020 was a different year because everybody was given the choice in 2020. You did not have to make a required minimum distribution. You could, but you didn't have to.
Right.
Most people did not. Excuse me. Most people did not. We had a very good year at the end of 2020, which meant nobody took a distribution and they had growth on that distribution plus additional growth. So be aware that the distributions for 2021 may be higher. Let's see, we just got another question. Hang on, let me read the full question. Does every beneficiary of an IRA have to do a withdrawal, have to withdraw everything from the IRA within 10 years? Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Well, for starters, the spouse does not, the surviving
Correct.
Spouse. Okay. We'll start with that.
Well, where we really need to start is it depends upon when you inherited the IRA.
What a great point.
Okay.
But, And we'll talk about from this point forward, and really from 2020 moving forward. But let's see, Annalee, spouses.
Well, if you inherited before 2020,
right,
no one has to do this 10-year right. debacle that was brought in. Mm-hmm. After 2020, the spouse does not, because the spouse can do what? Go in and say, okay, now this is my IRA.
Right.
So spouse is number one. Who's next, Bob?
I think number two would be minors. Minors mm-hmm. that have not reached the age of majority. And let's say that, you know, just for this conversation, it's 18 years old. But if a beneficiary is 10 years old, that 10-year rule does not begin or commence until they reach the age of majority. So, minors.
But during that amount of time, mm-hmm. they must make a required minimum distribution according to the inherited IRA tables.
Exactly.
So they can't just let the money sit there, and then they hit 18, and they got to take it out within the 10 years.
Right. But they will have another 10 years once they reach the age of majority. So they actually have more than 10 years.
Correct.
Let's see. Who else? People with disabilities.
Disabilities, correct.
And, you know, we don't run into that a lot. But, of course, it's very important if this is something that affects you. But that mm-hmm. they are beneficiaries with disabilities are not required to deplete the inherited IRA within 10 years.
That is correct. And there's still one more. Do you remember who that one is?
Okay. All right. Help me out here, Annalee.
All right. If the person you leave your money to is less than 10 years younger than you. So if you're 11 years younger than I am, you fall under the 10 year. If you're 8 years younger than I, and I leave you my IRA, you can then do the old time stretch. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for the 10 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what these people, when they put these rules together, I have no idea what kind of funny cigarettes they were smoking.
Yeah.
But I mean, how can you come up with all this?
Yeah, so that 10-year rule with the last one, and I think that was the fourth one. The 10-year rule has its own 10-year rule, right?
Exactly. So it's like if you inherit an IRA, here's the best piece of advice I can give to you. Come to Mainstay before you sign any papers, before you make any decisions, and make sure you understand what all of your choices are. Because this is just, it is astronomical the way they have configured this. So when a client comes in to see us, the first thing we got to figure out is, okay, when did you inherit? How do you fit into the family structure? How old are you? How old was the deceased person when they passed away and you inherited this? And now we got to bring your tax person in to make sure that everything is done correctly. I really, Bob, I feel like we need to hire a whole nother staff to do nothing but IRA, inherited IRAs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's interesting, and the fact of the matter is it's going to change again.
Yes,
it will change again, and only
a few
years.
It definitely will.
Yeah,
it definitely will. You know, everybody's getting upset, and then they talk about they changed the rules. They changed the rules. Well, you know what? It's not the first time, and it definitely is not the last time that these rules will change. And this is why I say to people, if you inherit an IRA, please don't be foolish and think that you know what to do. Consult an expert in the area, because what is going on today, I can't tell you if 5 years from now these will be the same rules. I can't tell you to be the same rules 4 years from now. I have no idea, okay? So listen, we're going to go and get some news, and hopefully Mr. Mark has some good news for me. Goodness knows we've had enough bad stuff going on. And think about your questions, either text them or call Jenna or Bob during break, and we'll come back and get to those. So are we going to have some good news today?
I'll give it a shot. We've got a new option for children in our region who are facing that cancer diagnosis over at the Studer Family Children's Hospital. And we'll have that story coming up after Fox.
News. I'm Pam Puzo. A high-profile hearing on an election reform bill is underway on Capitol Hill.
The freedom to vote is fundamental to all of our freedoms. It is how Americans control their government and hold their elected officials accountable.
Democrat Amy Klobuchar chairs the Senate Rules Committee.
Most Americans agree that voting is already pretty easy, yet we find ourselves here being asked to support a federal takeover of elections that would force a Washington, D.C., one-size-fits-all approach.
Republican Roy Blunt. Two sheriff's deputies have been killed in Central Texas. That's according to the State Department of Public Safety. The circumstances are unclear. Last night, a California police officer was shot and killed, a second wounded. The suspect was killed by police. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 77 and cloudy. I'm Mark Jacobs. Children across the Gulf Coast facing a cancer diagnosis now have a greater access to care and support services. The new Bear Family Foundation Pediatric Oncology Center is open on the first floor at Studer Family Children's Hospital at Ascension Sacred Heart. Almost half the 11,500 square foot space devoted to accommodations like a play area, family room, movie room, and respite rooms. A tip to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office leads to discovery of human remains at a home in Milton, the resident charged with homicide. Sergeant Rich Alloy says that tip came in on Sunday, leading to an investigation that resulted in enough evidence and probable cause to get a warrant to arrest 60-year-old Johnny Edwards Malisham. The deaths of two people in a shooting in Pensacola overnight, a case of murder-suicide. Pensacola police say the bodies were found when officers arrived this morning on North 8th Street. Investigators say there'd been a disturbance. 35-year-old Joshua Pittman allegedly shot and killed 31-year-old Anna Maria Candera before turning the gun on himself. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Overall, about a 70% chance of rain today. Highs reaching near 81 degrees and temperatures dropping overnight near 68. For Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms continue. High near 79 degrees, dropping on Wednesday night near 62. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
77 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze. It's 80 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Stocks are tumbling on inflation worries. The Dow Industrial's down 520 at 34,222. The NASDAQ is down 87. The S&P 500 off 49. One of the lifelines for homeowners during the pandemic has been forbearance, an ability to skip or make smaller monthly payments on mortgages under the CARES Act, leaving them more cash for emergencies. A survey by Credit Karma finds while in forbearance, 34% use the cash that would have gone toward their mortgages for essentials like groceries, medical needs, and utilities. Ballots and holiday cards are no longer clogging up the system, but that doesn't mean you've been getting your mail any faster. According to Postal Service data, one in five pieces of mail across the country was delivered late to households or businesses in the first 3 months of the year. The USPS says about 78% of first-class mail was delivered on time in the first quarter. That's down from more than 92% in the first quarter a year ago. That's Your Money Now.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there. Up, down, up, down. Win, win, win.
Wow, she got.
All right, Lance and I are over here dancing. That's why I got so wound up. Lance wanted to dance, and you know, I mean, once the Cajun in me starts to dance,
Yeah, I heard a high note there. That was
You know, that's you know, I apologize. I can't help it.
It's okay. You got me.
Is what it is. What it is, baby.
That's right. I love it. It gets us pumped for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's what we want to do at Mainstay. We want to pump people up to get you to start thinking about the decisions that are coming along in your life. Don't just think you know and make decisions that are going to be harmful for you later. Make sure that what you think is correct, because as we were just talking about right before break, everything now is so convoluted, and it depends on when you do what and when you inherit what and what you have and what you don't have as to what you can do. I mean, things is, you know, there are different types of savings plans. So there are small businesses out there that have something called a simple IRA.
Right.
Well, do you know it has its own rules? I mean, so if I'm contributing to this, and let's say I stop working as my own business and I want to go off and I want to open my own IRA because I'm going to have a 401k while I'm working now, you cannot, if you've been contributing to that simple, you can't just dump it into the IRA. You can't dump it into the 401k until you haven't been contributing to it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now, you think everybody knows that? No.
Yeah, of course they don't. And Anna Lee, as we talk about making decisions and how convoluted things are, you know, one of the things that is happening this week, this is the last week. Well, you do have until Monday to make your 2020 contribution to your traditional, to your Roth. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that it's been extended, but you can do that for last year up until Monday of next week.
Right.
And we're doing those this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're doing them. We've done several of them. And my advice to you is, if you're going to do it, hurry up and get it done, because if you wait till Tuesday or Wednesday, you're out. So get it done now,
right,
if you want to make a contribution. And remember now, they have, again, changed the law. So if you are working, if you have a J-O-B, even if you're beyond the age of 71, 72, you can still contribute to an IRA. That was changed in 2020. Mm-hmm. It used to be, once you started taking required minimum distributions, you could not contribute. Well, they changed that too. So take advantage, either build your Roth up for tax-free money, which to me is the best thing you can do, or if you really, really need a tax break, you still can take advantage of that.
And that is the test. What do you need? If you have a tax, an income tax issue, make your contribution to your traditional. We had a question this week, and it's a great question. Is it worth it to me to file an extension to go ahead and make that $7,000 contribution this year? And I said, well, why don't we go ahead and quantify that? What are you making? We got to the bottom of that. The client is in the 24% marginal federal income tax bracket. And so 24% of a $7,000 contribution is just shy of $1,700. And that's money in your pocket. You know, so you can quantify the value of the contribution you're making to a traditional IRA.
Yes. Yes. So make sure you're keeping all those things in your mind. So let's kind of jump back to the Ed slot, because this one is important. 2020, again, remember, we did not have to make a required minimum distribution. That also counted if someone was at the age where they were making required minimum distributions and died in 2020. There was no distribution due. That is different for 2021, okay? So if someone dies in 2021 and they are of the age to make required minimum distributions, if they had not yet taken it for the year, the heirs must take that. And it goes on the income tax form as it's called IRC, income in respect to the decedent. It does not count as income to the heirs, as the IRA will, or whatever distribution they have to make from it. And this is so stringent that if you don't take that distribution for the deceased person, you have to pay the same penalty as though that person were alive and did not make an RMD.
Interesting.
Okay? Isn't that interesting?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you miss that, there is a form. It's called Form 5329 that you can send to the IRS, and very often in case of a deceased person, they will forgive it, but I'm not going to guarantee you that they will. So make sure you check that. Make sure you talk to that person's advisor to see if the RMD was taken or not, okay? And, you know, we lost a lot of people and are still losing people, unfortunately, from COVID, and a lot of this is happening in a very unexpected manner. I mean, you know, sometimes you know a person is getting near the end and you can get a lot of things done. But we've lost a lot of people that were not expected to pass away. So make sure, please, that you check into all of this.
Right.
Okay?
Annalee, it reminds me, what we just discussed reminds me of another question that I had just yesterday. And it was somebody that is turning 72 this year. And they asked the question, should I take my distribution throughout the year? Should I take it sometime around when I turn 72? Or should I wait until the end of the year? And as we do this and as things change, and, you know, it's right in the rear view mirror. Last year, we had people taking their RMDs during the year of 2020, and they, you know, and then the RMDs were suspended. So it creates a little bit of a, I guess, an exercise or a project to, number one, to stop it, to figure out what goes back, all of that. And it never hurts to wait, and you can defer it till the end of the year. Because what if we have another year? And it's only been done twice, 2009 and 2020. But that's almost every 10 years, right? We have an RMD suspension. So it never hurts to wait, unless, of course, you absolutely need the money during the year as monthly income to pay your bills and so on and so forth.
Right, right. So just be aware, keep your beneficiaries up to date. I cannot stress that enough, because you have to understand, if you don't keep up with your beneficiaries, the government takes over. So if you have named someone as a beneficiary and that person predeceases you and you don't change your beneficiaries, guess who gets to step in? Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam.
That's right.
And Uncle Sam now hires a very good attorney and says, okay, this person A left money to person B, but B died before A. No one else was named as a beneficiary. Now they're going to go out and search for descendants of B to determine who gets the money.
Right.
Well, guess what that takes? Time.
Yep.
Time equals what? Once you bring the courts and an attorney in.
Time.
Money.
Yep.
Money. So money that the heirs could be getting or winding up with the attorneys, with the courts. So, you know, this morning, I had an appointment before this show this morning. One of the first things I did was review her beneficiaries to make sure everything was there and that everyone on that list is still alive and well. And how many times do we tell our clients, Bob, and remind them, if you have a life-changing event, call me.
Yes.
If you have a life-changing event, call me.
Right. Let's look at everything. Let's there's going to be a lot of things that possibly remain the same. But
yes.
I guarantee you there's something or several things that do not.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be so, so careful in here and how you take this money and what it's going to do to your taxes and what the Secure Act has done to come in. Now, here's another thing. We've talked about the wife. The wife can inherit, or the husband, whatever, the spouse, can inherit the IRA, can own it. We talked about the 10-year rule. We've talked about minors. Now, let's talk about a non-designated beneficiary, what we're talking about right now. So, I own the IRA. I leave the IRA, let's say, to my niece, a portion. Let's say my niece predeceases me. Now it goes to what are called non-designated beneficiaries, her closest lineage, okay? Now we have another time period. If you are a non-designated beneficiary, you have to have your proceeds out in 5 years.
Get those contingent beneficiary designations completed as well.
Yeah, I mean, no annual RMDs in there, but you got to get everything out within the 5-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a 5-year, now you've got a 10-year, now you've got required minimum distributions till 18, which then goes over to a 10-year. Do you see how convoluted this has all become? Jenna, I hope you're ready because I'm going to give you a quiz when we get off the show today.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
So glad it's after the show, right?
Yes, after, not on air.
this, and reason I'm going through all this is to show you this is not a simple thing. Now, this year, we're back to taking distributions. This year, our distribution is going to be more because a lot of people didn't take for 2020. We had a good market the last couple of months. We had a dip in October, but November, December were exceptionally good. And remember, your distribution is based on what? December the 31st, the year before. So you might want to think about some things, like maybe doing a qualified charitable gift. If you're 70 and a half, you might want to sit with your tax person and your advisor to figure out if I don't touch some of this money, if I roll some of it over to, it goes directly to a charity,
right,
and I don't have to count that as income, can I keep my tax bracket down for the year? And we've got a lot of people do those.
Yeah. And we have a lot of people that make their charitable contribution or maybe their pledge for a capital campaign, whether it's their church or university or something, and they will take a block of highly appreciated stock. Well, you know, if their long-term capital gains rate is 15% and only on the gain, I would think that that same person would have a better tax advantage by making a qualified charitable contribution from their IRA where it is 100% taxable and, mm-hmm. of course, at their ordinary income tax rate. So mm-hmm. may want to revisit that. And, you know, it's all the more reason to, you know, get together with your tax advisor, get together with your financial advisor, and make a decision as to which contribution source makes the best sense.
Yeah, and I think this is all coming down to one thing, Bob, is that don't try to make these decisions on your own. Get people that are experts in this and know what they're doing. I'm always amazed by how many people think, oh, yeah, I can handle all this. I read this. I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, people won't do that if you got to go have a tooth pulled or you got to go have your appendix out or you have to have heart surgery. It's not like, oh, let me read about this on the internet. I can do this, you know. It's always amazed me. I mean, between the two of us, you and I, we've got, 63 years of experience.
Right.
We got how many years of education and constantly learning.
Right.
People don't make foolish mistakes. I mean, there's so much out there that you need to learn. If you're going to go through a divorce, for goodness sake, don't try to settle that on your own.
Right.
We've got a whole handout from the Ed Slott class that's the complete IRA care solution for divorce. And it brings you through all the pros and cons and talks about a qualified domestic relations order, how you can get, you know, some of that qualified plan, 401k, you know, the SEP plan, the whatever it may be, put into your name without a taxable consequence occurring. And most of the time, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that you know what it is. You might want to bring a mediator in.
Right.
To talk about the divorce laws and help you be sure you're correct. Have the mediator talk to your financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
You see how all of these people work together.
Right.
You see where, I mean, does that make sense? It's
yeah.
just, I'm so adamant about these things that it's like, people, just please, listen. It's
yes.
not just you go in and sign a piece of paper.
Right. Your circumstances change. There are life events that always take place. You can count on it.
Yeah.
And the laws are changing. So you have so many moving parts here. What's happening with you personally, with your family? How many times do we meet with folks and they share with us how their parents are doing and what that might mean to them down the road? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, certainly that can be addressed. But address your own, because that's going to affect people down the road as well. But again, the laws are always changing. You've got to stay abreast of them and
mm-hmm.
you know, surround yourself with professionals that have the experience, have the education, and are able to deliver the information that's pertinent.
Yeah, and find out if you need to protect that IRA by having it at your passing go into a trust that was set up prior to your death, especially today's world. I mean, how many people do we know that are in second or third marriages? You know, sometimes children from each,
right.
or children from one and none from the other. Who do you want to get your dollars when you pass away. And, you know, I can go back to my own situation. You know, my mother had two marriages. Her first husband passed away. She already had the three sons. She married my father. My dad was a brilliant man, but he wasn't an educated man. He was one of those people that went to war at a very early age, lied about his age and went to war, came back crazy enough to marry a woman who had three children already, and I was the only child born of that marriage. Now, I'm my dad's only child, so don't you think he would have kind of wanted to make sure that everything he had worked for all of his life, I got some of it? I mean, doesn't that just stand to reason?
Makes perfect sense.
You know? But what happened when he passed away, the eldest brother from the first marriage got almost everything. And that was because that was the mother's favorite child. Mm-hmm. And mamas, don't tell me you don't have one, because I know you do.
You can have one. You just have to treat them equally, right?
Just treat them equally. You know, just tell that one that they're special when they're by themselves. Don't tell the others, you know?
Right.
But you think about that, and here's you know, the one child who's the bloodline mm-hmm. of my father got the least of anybody. See, if my dad had known about doing a trust and how those work, that would have never, ever happened.
Yeah.
Would have never happened.
And so often the family member that has the information and has the experience, the expertise to advise, you know, is put in a difficult situation mm-hmm. when they're looked upon, because what may appear, you know, self-serving is just, you know, the absolute honest to goodness, not only truth, but equitable treatment of all of the beneficiaries. But, you know, sometimes you need a third party to weigh in on this.
Well, you do. And, you know, that's when I decided to get into this field, Bob, was, mm-hmm. you know, I saw the injustice that was done and the split it caused in my family. And it was like, man, I can't let other families go through this if I can possibly help them to avoid it. Right. So I am very often that third person for a family right. that will come in, and we sit down and talk. And, you know, sometimes these conversations get pretty heated mm-hmm. Because, you know, one thinks they should have because.
Right.
And you just can't do that. You've got to remember, you know, these families hopefully are going to long outlive you, and you want them together. You don't want them split up over money, and money ruins more relationships than anything in the world.
Right.
Anything.
Yeah.
It's you know, when you hear people say, you know, money is the root of all evil, I don't believe that. Money is an energy that allows you to do tremendous things for yourself, for charities, for your children. But the misuse of money is evil.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where, when you misuse it, families split, people don't talk to each other anymore.
Right. So often we see this when the family patriarch or matriarch or both are no longer in the picture. They are the glue,
yes.
and they keep the family together. And they're not there any
yes.
longer to mend these relationships. So it's something that does happen, and we see it quite often.
We see it all the time. Please go out. Be nice. Say please. Say thank you. Don't be a hoarder. You're hurting everybody else. Make it a wonderful world. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.